In the second Aliyah of Parshas Truma, we start to read about some of the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. The Aliyah begins telling us about the Kapores, which the Rishonim explain is from a language of Kisui, covered up. And we are told that it is made out of pure gold. And the Bechor Shor explains that since the Shechina is represented here, the whole thing is gold, and it's not just an overlay of gold. The Talmud Yerushalmi, in the beginning of Shkalim, suggests that the symbolism of the gold is to be mechaper on the gold that was a part of the Egel Hazav, which on the surface seems like a surprising idea. The Torah Tmima notes we have a concept of Ein Kategor Nasa Sanegor. Normally we wouldn't want to try to defend ourselves by evoking a history of sin, and that's why, in fact, the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear gold. This is an issue that was already brought up by the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Dav Chof Vav Amud Aleph, where there the distinction is drawn that we say chote bayakriv kamrinan, that the one who himself is connected to the sin, in this case a human being, shouldn't come in with gold. But it doesn't mean that all gold is off limits. My grandfather in the Sefer Meshivas Nefesh, commenting on the Torah Tumimah, notes that it's not exclusively about garments that a person would be wearing, because we find that the concept is also at least theoretically applied to the shofar. However, presumably there's still room to distinguish. The shofar is a tool of expression of the person, and the aron is still fundamentally different than that. The Gemara Maseches Sukkah and Daf Hei Amud Aleph tells us that the kaparis was one tefach thick, which is something that's not mentioned in Chumash. As Rashi notes, the Chizkuni explains that because that was invisible, so it's not mentioned, but it's still a significant point. And the Ragachever notes that the idea here is to show us that the kaparis was a kli. The size was derived from comparison to other kelim, and this is to show us that the kaparis is its own distinct kli. In the next pasuk, we read about the kruvim, the Gemara and Sukkah over there, and Daf Hei Amud Aleph tells us that the imagery here is kiravia, like a child, and that was what the kruvim apparently looked like. Rashi tells us that they were not to be connected afterwards, but rather made out of one piece of gold and fashioned from within. Rav Nosson Gestutner in a Sefer Laharos Nosson suggests this is a remez to the idea that children, when they are educated, that must come from within the Torah. And Rav Moshe David Steinwurzel notes that the symbolism of children specifically here is connected to a medrash, which tells us that the Jewish people responded to a Kadosh Baruch Hu who asked them for a guarantor before giving them the Torah. And they responded, our children will be the guarantors, the idea that we will pass it on to our children. So here, the symbolism is to show that indeed that path works. The Sefer Ber Yosef notes that in the time of Shlomo, we read in Melachim Aleph, he added two more that were standing on the ground. And he suggests that the symbolism is that in the Midbar, when they were being sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they could focus only on Torah, and that's what holding on to the Aron represents. In the times of Shlomo, when they also had to be involved in making a living, they had to do other things as well, so they're standing on the ground, but they still stay rooted in the Torah. Pasuk Chaf tells us about how the Kruvim would stand with their hands on the Aron, but looking at each other. The Laharos Nosson explains the imagery here by invoking a Yitshuva of the Chasam Sofer, or Chaim Siman Reish Ches, where he comments on the idea, the Pasuk tells us, Losana Al Riv Lintos, which he understands to mean that when you are arguing and learning, your response shouldn't be to try to tilt the other person to your side, but rather to reach the MS. And this apparently is the imagery here, that they are engaging with each other in Pilpul, but they're also holding on to the Aron, holding on to the Torah in order to protect its truth. The Shlah emphasized that the imagery here is of a Rav and Talmud having mutual respect to each other, and this is a crucial concept in success in Torah. Chaim Yaakov Goldwich, Rashiv Karbi Avner, quoted the Ruach HaChaim, Chaim Velazhner, commenting on the Mishnah in Avos about Rav Hanani ben Trajon, who said that two who sit and have no Divrei Torah between them are considered to be a Moshav Leitzim, and if there is Torah between them, so then the Shechina is there. Quoting the Pasuk, as Dibru Yirei Hashem. And he explained that the idea is not simply that they're learning, but that the Torah is b'neihem, that the Torah is between them. So then that's what allows the Shechina to be present, and that's what the phrasing of as Dibru conveys. However, if they are learning, but it's not between them, then they're considered to be leitzim, they're considered to be scoffers, people who don't have a sense of respect towards each other, but rather cynicism, and that is not a place where the Torah is going to succeed and where the Shechina is going to be present. Similarly, this language here, Ufnehem Ish El Achiv, the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Tzadi Tes Siman Aleph, comments that when they were doing the will of God, so then they faced each other, and when not, then it faced the bias, and the Laharis Nassim comments about that, then doing the Ratzon Hashem is what makes us as one. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, we read, V'nasato esa kaparas al ha'aron milamala, v'al ha'aron titein esa idus asher atein elecha. So another reference to putting the edus into the aron. Rashi says he's not sure why we have to hear that again. And the Meshech Chachma, and the Gerarye, and the Brisker Rav all explain that perhaps this is an example of shino lav hakasav la'ake. The Torah tells us something twice in this context to show that it is crucial. And the point is that there is no aron without the luchos, and therefore there was no aron in the second bias. In Pasuk of Gimel, we read about the Shulchan. The Ramban explains that this represents wealth, and we need to have this represented because a bracha needs something on which to take effect. This is the idea we have of leaving crumbs on the table for Berachas HaMazon and other related concepts, and therefore that imagery is conveyed here. The Sefer Lev Avram, he notes also that this is because Ein Kemach Ein Torah, so therefore this is taught to us even before the menorah, and he quotes from the Tosas Yom that this is really cyclical, that at the same time as we say, Min Kemach Ein Torah, but Min Torah Im Kemach, without the Torah, the Kemach is not going to be provided, the sustenance won't be there. But this mutuality begins with the idea of Min Kemach Ein Torah, so therefore the Shulchan has to be here first. Pasuk Chaf Ches tells us about the Badim, about the poles that were used to carry the Aron and to lift them up. And here, the Meshech Chachma comments, based on the Gemara in the end of Chagiga, the Mishnah end of Chagiga, that they were lifted up in order to show the Oli Regalim, who would come to the Beis HaMikdash, to show just how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. At the end of the Aliyah, we read about the Lechem HaPanim. We're told, V'nasata al HaShulchan, Lechem Panim L'fanai Tamid. They should be always on the table in order to display crucial imagery here as well. Many understand the Targum Yonasan and the Chizkuni and the Maral and his Sefer Gvura Sashem and elsewhere that the 12 loaves mean to represent the 12 Shvatim. And in the Baragola, he writes that in the Mikdash, this was especially important because the Mikdash is a unifying force, and that's why Chazal use the imagery of a bama, of a private altar, as reflecting separation, and use that to identify the quality of somebody who would take nedarim, that would keep him separate and distinct from the Jewish people. So the emphasis of unity is crucial to the whole message of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what the 12 Shvatim are meant to convey. And Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Drashos Otzus Yosef, explains that this is particularly relevant to Shabbos, and that's why this is arranged on Shabbos, because Shabbos especially is a unifying time, one of the crucial themes of the Mishkan and later of the Beis HaMikdash.